divisions, A, B, C, and D. D was the contents of the book. He said, Revelation is a book of the whole Bible. Number one, under this last vision, D. Second, Revelation is a book of consummation. Third, Revelation is a book of the throne of God. You want to take four. Revelation is a book of judgment. It is manifestly a book of judgment, beginning to end. So the two witnesses smite the earth in 11:6. Christ smites the nations, chapter 19, verse 15. Though Christ is called the Lamb of God, and it's pet lamb, 28 times, when he starts in the vision of chapter 1 in his judgment role, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the picture of him is as Ancient of Days, with hair white as wool, and with his garments regal, kingly garments, and his feet like glass made fiery in a furnace. The word peace is not in the Greek of Revelation except twice. To the saved in 1:4, peace. But in the body of the book, 6:4, only to take peace from you. There is no peace during the 7-year tribulation period, 4:6-19. The war. It is a book of warfare. There is a sevenfold judgment in Revelation. We'll give these briefly. Sevenfold judgment. Some overlap, of course. There's the judgment of the church, chapters 2 and 3. Jesus is judging his church with eyes of flaming fire. Says to each one of them, I know your works. And he tells you what he knows about them. He boldly vivisects, criticizes, polarizes. Search the reins and the hearts, he says to God. 2:3 is judgment of the church. Second is the judgment of the earth monarchs, starting in 3:10. He says to the church at Philadelphia, because you've kept the words of my patience, I will keep you out of that hour of trial, which is coming upon the whole habitable earth to try the earth dwellers. I'm going to call your attention to that word, earth dwellers, later. It's set in contrast to the tent dwellers in heaven. The earth dwellers. It's people whose whole life is only on earth. Remember, as soon as you're saved, you lose your earthly citizen, you become a citizen. But God is at war through the Lamb with the earth dwellers. And the whole tribulation period is a time of judgment upon earth dwellers, 4:19. We'll see that more as we go along. Third, it's judgment upon apostate religion. Chapter 17. As soon as the church is raptured, in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the false prophet, under the Antichrist, establishes an ecumenical world church. God calls her the day four of the great scarlet woman riding the power on the back of the beast in chapter 17, and she's judged. And the ten kings with the Antichrist destroys the great scarlet woman in 1 hour. You read that in chapter 7. That's judgment upon the whole. On the great scarlet woman. This, their point, is judgment upon the Antichrist and the false prophet. At the Battle of Armageddon. By Christ's personal appearance. When he destroys the Antichrist or the man of sin with the brightness of his appearance. 2 Thessalonians 2. Judgment upon the Antichrist and the false prophet. Fifth is the judgment upon Satan's earthly princehood in 3 stages in the book. Judgment upon Satan's earthly princehood or rulership that God gave him before Adam and Eve, according to Ezekiel 28. Jesus said in John 16:11, the prince or ruler of this world is judged. It starts with his being cast out of heaven in the 12th chapter of Revelation, in the middle of the tribulation period. And God says, woe be to the earth dwellers, for Satan's come down and you have a great wrath, for your his time is short. The second stage is bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. The last stage is cast into the lake of fire. Judgment upon Satan. His great career is over. Six is the judgment upon the rebellious nations at the battle of Gog and Magog in Revelation 20. See that when we come to it. When they come up against Jesus and against the city of Jerusalem at the end of the millennium, when Satan's reached for the season. But they are beast and the false prophet and taken alive and cast into the lake of fire. And Satan is cast into the lake of fire. And the nations that come up against Jerusalem are destroyed. Then seven is the judgment of the great white judgment throne. Chapter 20. When death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were all judged according to their works. Whosoever was not found written in the law. The book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Seven great judgments in the book of life. But the most important of all, the fire. It's in the book. It's the revelation is a book of the unveiling Jesus Christ. And there are seven great revelations of Christ in the book. I love to preach on these. Seven revelations of Christ. You'll see in our introduction, probably this morning, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must speedily transpire. And he sent signified by servant John, by his angel unto servant John. But notice the unveiling of Jesus Christ. The seven great unveilings. Keep it in mind, Revelation is not a revelation of the revelation. It's not a revelation of the Antichrist and the false prophet. It's not a revelation of cataclysm. It's not a revelation of prophecy. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Period. All of it. Everything is in relationship to him. And primarily, when we come to it, we should see it's the revelation of that man of humiliation in Jesus. 11 times in the body of the book, he has the singular Jesus. When he takes the throne in chapters 10 and 11, at the seventh trumpet, he is Christ, the sign of the Old Testament, king. But in the body of the book, 11 times, singular, I know it occurs one time in the authorized version, but every scholar that I can read after says that Christ has been added in the Vulgate, in the original known Jesus. It reads the rest of the book. It doesn't make any difference, however, but it's just the idea that it's like Paul gives, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess Him. Lord uses the word Jesus very advisedly here, because it's that same Jesus who walked the earth and was crucified by man. And therefore, God is highly exalted. Look at these seven revelations of Jesus. First, we overlap again. It's necessary. First, it's the revelation of Jesus in His glorified state. Chapter 1. You can preach a sermon on each one of these. Make one of the series of sermons on the glorified Jesus Christ. Open the revelation. When John heard a voice behind him as a trumpet and being turned, he saw the Son of Man as the lamb that had been slain. Then he saw that wonderful vision of the glorified Son of God. This is glorified, Christ's glorified state. That's the vision of chapter 1. We'll draw the comparison between that and Isaiah 9, 6 later. Second is the revelation of Jesus Christ as high priest to His church. Chapters 2 and 3. What He's doing in the glory world now as our great high priest in the book of Hebrews. That's 2 and 3. You can see it as you read the messages of the seven churches. Third is the revelation of Jesus Christ as the executor of the wrath of God. Chapters 4 and 5. That's the third revelation of the Lord Jesus as executor. Executor, in the way we would say it, verbal form, of the wrath of God. The one worthy to take the book out of the hands of God and break the seven seals, and by those breaking of the seals bring the concluding judgments of God upon the earth. The rest of the revelation. Exactly what he does. John wept that no man was found worthy to break the seals and open the book. And the angel Gabriel said unto John, don't weep. The land of the tribe of Judah had the veil open. Turned around and saw the Lamb. This, of course, agrees with John 5:22, the Father judgeth no man, but between all judgment of the Son. Fourth is the revelation of Jesus Christ as the scourger of the earth. In the wrath of God. Carrying it out. Sending forth the angels ministry of judgment. Keep that in mind. This is 4 through 19. Revelation of Jesus Christ as the scourger of the earth with the wrath of God. Until finally it is He alone in 1950 who treads the winepress of the wrath of God. No man's ready. Fifth, the revelation of Jesus Christ as Israel's Son. Chapter 12. The revelation of Jesus Christ as Israel's Messiah. The man child who shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. And His relationship with 144,000. Chapter 7 and 14. You see this when we come to chapter 7 and 14. Chapter 7 and 14. Christ is Israel's Christ. Israel's Messiah. Christ, or Christos, is the Greek. Messiah is the Hebrew. Proper name for the Lord Jesus Christ as King. Number 6. The revelation of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Chapter 19. comes riding forth from heaven with the armies of heaven to destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming, gather out of his kingdom all things that do offend, and set up his millennial kingdom. The revelation of Jesus Christ, and this is the time of the revelation, because heaven is king of kings and Lord of lords. Number 7. The eternal revelation of Jesus Christ as the light and temple of the New Jerusalem. The eternal revelation of Jesus Christ as the light and temple of the New Jerusalem. You see the sevenfold revelation of the Lamb of God in the midst of the New Jerusalem. The last two chapters. Six under contents of the book. Revelation is a book of wrath. Under two Greek words. Orge and thumos. You can see these when you come to them. Orge is settled principle of wrath. Thumos means rough breathing. And therefore it's aroused wrath. You have both of them in one verse in the 14th chapter when we come to it. And those who receive the mark of the beast shall taste of the boiling wrath of God and the settled wrath of God both. There are four great wraths in the book of Revelation. Four great wraths. The word wrath occurs 15 times in the book. I've often thought there must be another one, but I can't find it. I looked in the Greek concordance and I can't find it. It should be 14. But I can't. It is a book of war and making war. It is a stormy, wrathful, fearful book. You don't believe it. Ask someone, Satan, he comes up out of the tribulation, which is the very last. He comes up in the glory to be with us in the slain of the testimony of Jesus. First, as the wrath of the Lamb. First one to occur. The wrath of the Lamb. Revelation 6, 16 and 17. The wrath of the Lamb. Chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And said to the rocks and mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. Call your attention to that awful picture. Wrath of the Lamb. It's a terrible term. The blessed Lamb of God now arising. So for that, I'll never taste like wrath. Second, there's the wrath of God Almighty. As in 11:18, thy wrath came. 16:19, the cup of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. 19:15, the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Wrath of Almighty God. There's a sevenfold wrath of God in Revelation. The wrath upon the recipients of the beast, wrath upon Babylon, wrath upon spiritual Babylon, You see these two Babylons, mystery Babylon and liberal Babylon. Wrath upon the Antichrist, wrath upon the earth dweller, wrath upon the day of God, of the day of God, and wrath of the great white throne. The third is the wrath of Satan. You quote this. In 12:12 and 12:17, two kinds of wrath. Upon the earth dwellers and upon Israel. As in 12:12, woe be the inhabitants of the earth, when Satan come down to the heaven, great wrath, for he knoweth his time is short. Then upon Israel, 12:17, the grinding with wrath with the woman. Now, the woman of chapter 12 is Israel. No doubt about that at all. We shall see when we come to it. Well, it's a sign. It's not literal. But then fourth is the wrath of the Antichrist. Chapter 13. Like in verse 7, he makes war with the saints. You'll see the anger as he slays the saints all through the Revelation. One more. Revelation, this is number 7 from the contents. Revelation is a book of superlatives. Superlatives. Remember, this is what we said, the key to the book is to believe it. The hardest thing to do is to believe it. For then shall be a time of trouble such as never was upon the earth since there was a nation, Jesus said, Daniel. That would be again. Think of all the natural evils, catastrophes, plagues, diseases, wars, cruelty, bombardment by God Almighty upon the man, as well as the wrath of man against man. Jesus said, there was a kind of like that. Put them all together. Answer that out of the stings. As they call it. Answer that, I think, in a pre-tribulation era. All language is beggar. And expressions in such a period, situation, period, time of trouble, such as never was. Here's why in the Greek, chapter 7, says the angel Gabriel says unto John about those, that innumerable multitude out of every nation, tribe, and tongue that comes up. And he asked God, who are these? He said, Lord, thou knowest. He said, these are those which came up out of the tribulation, which is the great one. That's the Greek. The tribulation, which is the great one. You know what it means by that? Raise them all. Just like Jesus did that. In fact, the Greek word megas, M-E-G-A-S, great, occurs 82 times. 82 times. And that is not enough. You should see, he has to add some adjectives to it. But look at some of the greats. Great voice, great tribulation, great sword, great earthquake, great day of his wrath, great mountain, great authority, great thunder, great winepress, great heat, great hail, great plagues, great white throne. Like I said, when he came to the earthquake, chapter 16, and it's going to be the greatest earthquake this world has ever had, because it not only shakes the earth, it shakes the heavens. You never saw an earthquake like that before. Chapter 16 says, an earthquake so great that it never was since man was upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. There's no way to describe it. Oh, Isaiah tries. He said it will reel like a drunken man. It will shake like a night hutch in the field. Night huts were just a little temporary shelter, a tent-like thing you put in the field to stay in while they were in the harvest. And of course, when that great wind came from the south, the Sulaco, sometimes 80, 90, 100, 150 miles an hour, you can imagine what that little tent would be. So that's where the heavens and the earth were living. Well, he uses the other terms, but it's just megas most of the time. 82 times, mostly. But then he adds these other supposed to go with it. So we have hail was exceedingly great, 1621. Full occurs seven times, full of wrath, full of blasphemy, full of the last plagues. Then many occurs a great number of times, which is the Greek palus, palus, P-O-L-U-S. 14 times palus occurs. Now I'm going to call your attention to a great number of sevens in the book. I can't possibly give you all of them. I've counted 109 seven things. Besides, over 50 times the word seven occurs. So over 160 times, seven, I counted seven. But here's the peculiar part. Every time I teach Revelation, I find some new ones. I remember when I started out with about 50 of them. Then the first thing you know, I'll say to myself, did you know that occurred? That word occurred before, or that expression occurs, like blessed occurs seven times in the book. I think, well, you know that occurs before. So then I go back to my Greek lexicon and I begin to find out in the original, and I begin to count. First, I've got another set of seven. Sometimes it's seven, sometimes 14, sometimes 21, sometimes 28. Like the word pet lamb, arneon, occurs of the Lord Jesus Christ 28 times in the book. That's 4 times 7. So 14 times we have this word many, or palus. Many waters, many angels. Great multitude, much incense, many crowns. I might say many more. 14 times many. So it is a book of superlatives. Now, concluding this introduction, this is a stupendous book. It staggers all imagination. Stretches faith. It prods our vision. We need the same Holy Spirit who carried John in David's seat to illuminate our hearts and prod our appreciation. To make us love the book. We see a special blessing upon it. We need to remember that when Jesus takes us home to be with himself, this man of sin is revealed, and the devil's turned loose on earth. Things are going to transpire on the earth, this earth that never did before, never would again. Not only will God bombard earth with all of his plagues and judgments, see those, specifically under the six seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. But the devil is going to be mad at the earth. Come down having great wrath. The Antichrist is going to be mad with the people of the earth. Nature's going to run amok. Until men blaspheme God because of the plagues. Woe be to the earth, Lars. But it will come to pass. Not one jot or one thing. Now serene those all for thee. Say amen, Lord. I don't know how. It staggers my imagination. I think there's been way too much spiritualization of this book. Remember, we said the method we shall use is the literal, except where God indicates otherwise. It is solemn prose. Then I believe that God means what he says and says what he means. My business is not to find some mystical thought or fulfillment, nor to try to cook up something that I think maybe he meant. What did he say? Now, even where you have a sign, you're still not at sea. You'll find plenty of places, other places in the Word of God, where the Holy Spirit explains it. We shall see this in chapter 12 when John says, I beheld a great sign in heaven. This woman clothed with the sun, the moon and the stars under her feet, and she brought forth a man-child who ruled the nation of the world all around. You don't have any trouble with it. You can get the man-child right away. You'd be surprised how many people are wrong about the man-child. Therefore, they're wrong about the woman. Therefore, they're wrong about the remnant of the woman's seed. We shall see Asa Wright gets four kinds of Christians in there and gets a partial rapture to boot. You can do that with Revelation 12. You can do anything with Revelation 12 you want to. You can join Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong's World Church and believe in the revelation that God gave him. Turn with me to the first verse of chapter 1. We want to just barely introduce the subject. Revelation has a prologue and an epilogue. The prologue is the first 8 verses before he gets into the message. The epilogue is in the end of the book, in chapter 22, in the last several verses. You should see. The first thing that I do when I start my study Bible, for instance, this is the second revelation I put in my loose leaf Bible. I bought 3 of these Thompson Chain references when I had a chance to get them, and I've already made 1 of them for nothing. I buy them when I did. I paid $25 a piece for them. I think they're $40-some dollars now. I don't know if I paid the whole price. But the first thing I do is to mark out St. John the Divine. Draw lines there. This is not the revelation of St. John the Divine. Furthermore, he wasn't divine. There's only one divine. That's God Almighty. So you've got to mark out divine if you don't mark anything else. But it's not the revelation of St. John. God tells you what the revelation is in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the book's about. That makes it emphatic. So I just rub out John the Divine. So it's not the revelation of St. John, and it's not the revelation of a divine St. John. Revelation of the divine Jesus Christ. The word revelation is a noun, apokalypsis, 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 apokalypsis. It means from 2 Greek words, apo, from, and kalypto, to remove. So it is to remove the cover, rather collective cover, and apo from. So from the cover, literally in the Greek, or to remove the cover. Now, anyone who says this book is hidden, it's sealed. It's hidden symbol. I'll say the truth. It's not the concealing of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It's the same word used for his coming in power when every eye shall see him at the post-tribulation period. When he shall be revealed birth from heaven in flaming fire. Let's understand that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Taking the cover off, which God gave unto him. No cover of that at all. In his incarnation and humiliation, he's subject to the Father until he delivers the kingdom up to the Father. And God is all in all. Jesus mistakenly said, no man knoweth, nor the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man, the times and the seasons which the Father had kept in his own authority. There's no idea of Jesus not being God here. This revelation is that that's in the plan and heart of God Almighty one of these days to exalt his Son. Name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord and the glory of God. So it is the revelation which God gave unto him to show, not to seal, unto his servants things. Here's littles. Things which must. I like to emphasize every word. I like to preach a sermon every word in this person. Must. It's the same must as John 3:6. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. He says that further than John 3. Then born will grow. It's divine imperative. Shortly. The word shortly is speedily. Or it's translated in 22, quickly. Seven times in the book. The Greek word for shortly is entakonon. We get our word tachometer from it. Most everybody, most men anyhow, know what a tachometer is. It's an instrument to record velocity or speed in anything. It's a tachometer. On a race car, it is to tell you how fast you're going. In other words, when this revelation starts, the fulfillment of it, the revelation of Jesus Christ in the future, it's not going to be a long, drawn-out affair. Daniel says, the end shall be with a flood. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 9:27-28, he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. You can see it all through this book. Which was speedy. That is, he has the idea when it starts, it won't be long before it's over. Speedy. Come to pass. You see how that is actual, certain things must speedily transpire. All actualities. This is not some vague dream that John had. We shall see as we go in the next lesson. With the vision of a seer, like in the Old Testament, God transported him in vision 2,000 years into the future to get a grandstand seat and watch as the whole thing transpires before him, as it will transpire. If you get that in view, you'll see the certainty of it, and you'll see the actuality of it, and you'll see the literalness. It will take place. You're dismissed.